Okay then, good morning everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So good morning everyone. Hope you all had a good weekend. Today now is Monday the 28th of October. So, you know, these weeks are ticking around very, very quickly. Really quite a choppy and quite volatile week last week. Without making huge progress, although saying that, we were unlucky with a few trades in terms of we were picking the right trades in the right direction, but some of the intraday volatility was so considerable, let's say. We got sort of taken out of a couple of really decent trades that we would really still like to probably be in at this point. So a few other good trades last week. We've got one last dollar strength trade, which is currently underway, but we'll have a look at that trade in just a second. And I suppose the other thing just going into this week is we've got such a run of news over the next 6 to 7, 8 trading days. Really profound, really important time for these financial markets. So that leaves us with a little bit of a problem. Because there's so many unknowns, we're really trying to establish whether these markets are going to sort of move in line with expectations, whether there'll be a high degree of correlation between major markets, which is what we'd prefer to see. Because looking more broadly at these markets, there's more questions than answers as things currently stand. So that's not the best of conditions. It's perfectly understandable, of course, and we hope some decent opportunities will prevail at some point. So let's begin to prepare for the week ahead, which is really quite significant and very important. And we'll have a look at those news events in just a second. So please take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. And all profitable trades need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So trade selection is an important feature. Then looking at your levels in terms of where you get in and where you get out and where you place your stop losses and how do you mitigate risk, not only in terms of your exposure, but being able to remove risk in trades wherever possible. How do you manage each trade, hopefully to a successful outcome, along with trading psychology? So all very important features. Just to let you know, of course, we do address these considerations in a very practical manner every day in our live trade rooms. And we're strong advocates of attempting to be, no matter how sort of crazy these market dynamics can be, we want to maintain a high degree of consistency, at least in the trades that we look to get into. Accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and willing to be patient as well. So let's start with a review then of market moving news. So for this, we'll get up Forex Factory. So a few bank holidays now today. Well, it's only the New Zealand, actually. In New Zealand, we've had a bank holiday over the course of today. Important time shift. Reason being is that means that there is 4 hours difference between US Eastern time and UK time. Normally it's 5 hours. So it really means that a lot of these news events are an hour earlier. And it's just for this week, because at the weekend we get that daylight shift. In North America, so you got this daylight shift next Sunday. So for 1 week only, we've got a lot of very important news events for the week. Let me start with Monday. So today, nothing of any major concern. The incumbent government, Japanese government, took a bit of a beating. We'll do a little bit more analysis on that this morning. Today, we've got the Bank of Canada governor, which we'll be speaking later on, so important if you're trading the Canadian dollar. The consumer confidence numbers, and it's a big week starting tomorrow for job numbers, US job numbers. And don't forget, you know, the relative strength and weakness of any jobs market for any economy is really quite important. If people have jobs, they've got money in their pocket, they're occupied, of course, they are more likely to pay their bills and go out and spend money and use up disposable income and put that to work, let's say, with lots of purchases, which is very much the overall sort of dynamic of consumers currently. So their relative confidence is important, and also the amount of jobs. So the first of four US job numbers is JOLTS, job openings. Not easy to say. We're around the 8 million mark. We kind of have been for a little while. 806, 814, 818, 767, and then we bounce back up to 804. So 2, 4, 5. This is the sixth number. We're around that 8 million level. So what does that mean, looking at this chart? Well, we're still exceeding pre-pandemic levels. So there's still an awful lot of jobs available in the US. However, that's come down considerably from that 11 million number. So we've gone from 11 million to 8 million and seem to be stabilizing around that. So there's certain reports, you know, like Beige Book last week, for example, it just suggests that actually people aren't getting rid of workers at the moment. They're not necessarily taking people on, but they're keeping hold of the staff that they have, which is a net positive, of course. But we'll have a look at that news event in a little bit more detail tomorrow. And just quickly flicking through, we've got on Wednesday, we've got Australian inflation numbers, which is coming in potentially weaker than previous months. So that inflation number seems to be coming down, certainly for the Australian economy. The Eurozone, not so much. German prelim inflation, you could have lower growth. You could have more of a stagnating economy when it comes to Germany. We're expecting to see a bit of an uptick in inflation, which would be a bit of a worry for the ECB. And then on Wednesday, we've got ADP numbers, private sector job numbers. They're certainly lower, but you may be aware with these numbers that they can be all over the place. Very rarely that close to expectations, and not too sure exactly why that's the case. They used to be quite stable numbers prior to COVID. So we can get a bit of a range out of this number very, very easily. Previously we're at 99. We're down at those sort of lower levels. It would be a bit of a concern. In October of 2023, we got as low as 89,000 jobs added. 101 suggests that it's on the lower end, previously 143, so it's a bit of a drop. And there's also growth numbers, so inflation, growth in GDP. So is that coming down or is that going up? Well, it's kind of stabilizing quarter on quarter, previously 3% expected advance. GDP numbers quarter on quarter is expected to remain at 3%. So still pretty impressive growth. If you compare that to most economies, it's pretty significant. A couple of sort of minor events there. We got the autumn forecast statement, of course, on Wednesday for the UK economy. That will be a really important one. So we get the UK's income and expenditure plans from the newly elected government. So that's an important one for the UK economy. We'll discuss that as we go through the week, and I'm sure we'll get an awful lot of analysis on that pretty shortly. And Wednesday, yeah, we'll have both the inflation and also the growth numbers on Wednesday, along with that autumn forecast statement. We'll have crude oil inventories in there as well. So a significant day on Wednesday, really quite a significant day for the Bank of Japan on Thursday as to whether they'll keep rates at hold. The market expectations that will be the case. Thursday afternoon, we've got the Fed's preferred core PCE price index number, the inflation number for the UK economy. And look, the expectation is that it's going to tick a little bit higher. This is not really what the Fed want to see. They don't want to see this inflation number tick up to these levels that we were at 6 months ago, although that is what the expectation is now. So that's going to be really quite an interesting news event, because the economy, we're seeing a bit of a boom in the equity markets with prices very close to all-time highs, largely due to the Fed on a rate cutting mission, 50 basis points last time out. Next time, there's probably an expectation we get a 25 basis point rate cut. How many more will we get is going to be the question that we do need to ask ourselves. And the higher inflation goes, the less likely we are to get more rate cuts. And actually, that's very much reflected in what's going on in these bond markets, we're seeing bond yields rallying, not just in the US, but also across the Eurozone as well. So, and the UK. So bit of a concern there, if inflation starts to tick higher. This unemployment claims, which is the third new jobs number of the week. And then we have the fourth one on Friday, which is November the 1st, non-farm employment change. The unemployment rate as well is expected to stay steady around 4%. We're expecting, look at the difference between last month's number, which is 254 versus 111,000 jobs added to the UK economy. This is a sizable reduction, let's say. Again, quite concerning if inflation is ticking higher, if growth for now is looking pretty solid, but if the unemployment numbers start to weaken, it puts the Fed in a very, very difficult position with inflation ticking slightly higher versus much, much weaker job numbers. The unemployment rate, the Fed will be looking for this to stick at 4.1. And that's not really it. So we've got daylight saving next weekend, and then there's a bank holiday for the Japanese economy. And then we have this big old news event next Tuesday, the 5th of November, which is the US presidential election, very important, and congressional elections as well. So we get a change of leadership in one way or another, whether it's Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, and really, really important dynamic for financial markets. We continue to analyze that as things unfold. And that's not it. And we finish next Thursday with the FOMC, which will determine whether we get any rate cuts or not. So from a news-driven perspective, from Wednesday to the following Thursday, which is probably six trading days, we've got some of the most important news events to deal with that we could probably ever want to deal with. So, and going into this sort of event, we've spoke about it in detail. What sort of market dynamic are we going to get? We're not really too sure how these markets are going to react to these news events. Sometimes you have a bit of a vibe in terms of the way the market is kind of unfolding. This type of price action, the S&P 500, let me share it with you. And even the sharp sell-off we saw on Friday, when, you know, post the European trading session was really quite significant. Our expectation Friday night was to see Friday's candlestick, it started to really sell off very, very aggressively, reject the highs. And our expectation was we'd open and we'd continue that sell off. As you can see, we were quite surprised to see such a sharp reversal off the highs. This candlestick closed really quite bearish. And then we're quite surprised to see the market, you know, gap to the upside. And so far today look like it's rallying. So not a particularly clear dynamic. The Nasdaq We've got a lot of these AI stocks at all-time highs again, or very close to them. So we'll have a look at those in just a second. But the NASDAQ, very close to all-time highs. Dow Jones, after a strong sell-off, and we were selling this as well on Friday. We got taken out up at these highs before the rollover, the really aggressive, volatile rollover really kicked in. And you'd expect some further weakness, really, off the back of Friday's price action, but that's not really what we're getting. So when you get price action like this, it does make us a little bit more uncomfortable. Short-term rally, we gapped to the upside over the weekend. So for now, it looks like we may close the gap, but the bias is still pretty strong for these indice markets. There's your bullish engulfing candlestick for the Nikkei. It would be an important signal. We are getting these bullish engulfing candlesticks, and we're getting very little follow-through with them, a little bit of follow-through. And this is now a bullish bearish engulfing as things currently stand, but that's just been overnight. So a bit of a bullish backdrop for the CAC. The German DAX is very close to all-time highs as well. So probably a little bit more bullish equity markets than bearish right now. Kind of opposite dynamic for the dollar in terms of gapping lower, and then looks like we're rallying. The pound, we were rolling over to the downside. Now we're looking, it's a little bit more constructive. There's that little gap to the upside, strong rally in favor of the dollar versus the yen. We've got this little strong gap on the daily time frame, and normally you'd be looking for that gap to close. The dollar Swiss, which we're still in, we've rallied up to these levels. We're pretty close to our take profit. Let me zoom out a little bit. Yeah, we got quite close to that take profit up at these higher levels overnight. Now we've pulled back into the 100 period moving average, not a major surprise, and we're just going to assess really whether the dollar is likely to continue or not. If not, we can book in profit at these levels. Dollar CAD rallied higher, looking a little bit weaker now. So we've seen gaps in a lot of these markets. And further dollar strength, which is what we were struggling to see towards the end of last week. Thursday and Friday was looking quite bullish, really, until that sort of late day rally kicked in and the dollar really strengthened aggressively in the latter part of the US trading session. So a bit unfortunate with markets like the pound yen. We were expecting this to rally to the upside. That was the case. It just took us out. I'm pretty sure it was just below this 100 period daily moving average. It just got taken out before it sort of rallied very, very aggressively. Same dynamic for crude oil. Our bias is very much to the downside. We just got taken out at these highs, the 72.20 level. So you can see the sideways nature of this market. And we got that gap lower. Going into the US election, we'd probably be slightly weaker oil prices than stronger. I mean, that's largely why our expectation is to see, you know, these prices actually edge lower. But we've gapped, it's a considerable gap, because we gapped from nearly 72 down to, let's say, argument's sake, 69. So that's a $3 gap, which is not insignificant. Are we surprised going into a US election? No, not really. It's the expectation would be for the US government to do what they could to sort of push those prices lower. And a lot of the reaction was due to the Israel's fairly tame retaliation on Iran. Not tame, they target military installations rather than sort of a mass sort of bombing campaign. So yeah, so tensions have softened slightly because of the retaliation from Israel for all those bombs that that Iran were firing into Israel. So the retaliation was not as significant as it could have been. All of this helps Kamala Harris. You know, I'm sure it's coordinated with that in mind. And then we're back to the indices. So what does our trade plan revolve around? Last thing, US Treasury yields, if you look at the 2-year, they are rallying again now. And you compare and contrast that to what's going on with the 10-year. We're up at 2.28 now. Don't forget, we were back at 3.6. We've rallied really quite aggressively, nearly 70 basis points we've rallied. And this becomes a bit of a significant issue. So that's the 10-year versus the 2-year. We're back at 4.129. So making new highs as far as bond yields are concerned. So our expectation would that for be that to have a negative impact on equity markets, and that's not the case, as you can see. So a little bit of an upside down market dynamic, I think that's fair to say. I think we can absolutely refer to this market in as a mixed market dynamic. Potential risk off, last week, and certainly it closed quite risk off in terms of quite bearish in the end, but actually bouncing to the upside now again so quickly in the trading day, it feeds into this mixed market dynamic. So we were looking quite bearish due to these rising bond yields and concern around Fed rate decision. Absolutely, we can also add in the US election now. Market so we've got So let's look at this over a 9-day period. So between now and then, today's pretty quiet, tomorrow's pretty quiet. Then it starts to kick in from Wednesday with all the job numbers. In fact, they start tomorrow afternoon, all the job numbers, all the inflation numbers, all the growth numbers, US election, FOMC, annual statement for the UK economy, and lots of other indicators and everything in between. So. I think it's fair to say, you know, we've got quite a mixed view of these markets. The correlations are not really stacking up particularly well, especially with bond yields rallying. Expect that to have a bit of weakness. You'd expect the dollar to strengthen, which it pretty much has done. And you'd expect the weakness in the indices, which it clearly hasn't done. So, not too clear. And sometimes we do use the phrase, if in doubt, stay out. And that can often be a bit of a decision-making process to be actively sort of patient. Okay, so further dollar strength. Indice weakness. We're not really getting any of these real opportunities. So we've got crude oil weakness. We're not really getting that opportunity just yet. So the yen is let me pull the trigger on any. Right. Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a look at some weakness in the yen. have a look at some weakness in the yen. We're going to have a look at crude oil, weakness in crude oil. And apart from that, we're going to try and keep all other options open. And keeping all options open will prove useful in current market conditions. Yeah. So look, it's not the most clear-cut trade plan. It is reflecting really kind of what these markets are giving us. So yeah, the next 9 days, it's hard to express how significant the next 9 days are very likely to be for financial markets. And we've just got mixed market dynamics going into that event. So we will get reactions around tomorrow's JOLTS jobs and then the ADP, unemployment claims, FOMC, non-farm payroll numbers on Friday. We're going to get strong market reactions around those. But we may need to play them depending on what the data suggests. And, you know, concerning sides with the inflation dynamic and growth seems pretty solid, which is at least one thing that you can probably lean on. But if inflation starts to rise and there's a bit of weakness in the jobs market, that's a bad dynamic really for the Fed, which were very, very bullish on the fact that inflation is coming down and we've got a really solid jobs market and they don't really want it to get any worse. So let's see if these dynamics begin to get worse. If so, the 50 basis point rate cut last month was an absolute mistake. And you'll start seeing these markets begin to price in that mistake, which it hasn't done just yet. If it turns out to be the wrong move for the wrong reasons, which we've got an inkling that could really be the case. All right. So listen, on that note, guys, thanks very much for joining us. We'll let you go. In terms of making major market narrative that's driving prices, we've still got this AI rally ticking away in the background, which is creating this industry rally, I guess. Elsewhere, there's mixed signals, bond yields, dollar, commodities are, gold is up, crude oil is down. And a lot of these are occurring just around this particular period due to the US election as well, we would anticipate. So look, on that note, we let you go. Thanks very much for joining us as always. Yeah, we look forward to seeing you next time. If you are interested in learning how to trade the financial markets, of course, you just go to thelivetrading.com and just have a look at the website and do feel free to connect with us through a website if you need. So look, on that note, we leave you there. We've posted a trade plan in the chat box, so feel free to take that away with you and we'll see you in the other room very, very shortly. Great stuff. All right, my pleasure, guys. On that note, listen, take care of yourselves. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.